Wishbone Boys Wednesdays continues here on WTLS. Joe LeBou is joining us here. He was a part of the Alabama Wishbone offense in the early 1970s. Good morning, Joe. How you doing?
Hey, Mike. Hey, fine. I love that introduction right there. That song brings back a lot of, that cheer brings back a lot of memories.
I bet it does for you. Well, tell us about what you're doing now, and we'll talk about some of the good old days here in a minute.
Okay, well, I'm living over here in Phoenix City, Alabama. I retired from the school system in December, and about 40-something years teaching and coaching, and it's just a great, great learning experience for me, and got a great family, and just hanging in there. Just enjoying it day to day, and thank the Lord for it.
Yeah, I did see you did a little high school coaching after your playing days. Tell us about that.
I started out in Louisiana and went to Texas, and two of our children were born in Louisiana, and two were born out in Texas, and it's just a great experience wherever I was. I coached in Florida, Georgia, Alabama, those states, and getting to know kids. And matter of fact, went into a store yesterday, a local store here in Phoenix City, and ran into a couple of players, and Hey, coach. Hey, man, how you doing? And just seeing how they've grown up and got families now. And, there's a lot of them that I would like to see. And they're in different states. But, you know, it's just a great opportunity to get to know students and their families, and just have a little effect on their lives. And try to make the best of it, win a few ball games here and there.
Yeah. Did you run the wishbone when you coached?
Yes, sir. a little bit. Probably should have run it more.
Yeah.
Times change, fads come and go, and like spread offense today. Well, back then it was the wishbone, in the late 60s, early 70s there, and a lot of people ran it. And some people still might hit it a little bit today. But, you know, it comes and goes, like the single wing and the one tee. That's just the way, athletics is at times,
No doubt. It's always changing. Go back to when you were coming up and how you ended up at Alabama playing for Coach Bryant.
Okay, well, I appreciate that. I grew up in Birmingham. My daddy was a Birmingham fireman, and mom was a nurse up there. And 11 years old, I was watching the sports one night in 1961, and I didn't know that much about football. And I saw where my state, Alabama, was number one in the nation. I went, wow, that's pretty neat. on TV there in Birmingham, and that started a little dream. It really did. I thank God, and I'm thankful that that it all came true for me and my brother John. John played there also, and Jeffrey, my our youngest brother, he walked on there. But we moved to Memphis in 1965. Mom and dad divorced, and our stepdad's business was in Memphis. So here we go to Memphis Central High School. I would have gone to Ramsey High School in Birmingham, but like my dad, I always wanted to play for Ramsey, but we moved to Memphis, and it was just a great, great time up there. It was great friends, great atmosphere, great coaches. Had a great time at Central High School in Memphis. And then proceeded to be recruited several colleges, and Coach Donahue, Ken Donahue, recruited me in Memphis, and it was a dream come true, you know, for a lot of us, you know, not only Alabama, but all players and Tennessee, whoever, you know, you grow up and that's one thing I've always tried to tell my students, you know, dreams do come true, you know, have a goal and work hard to try to reach it. And you'd be amazed, you know, what a blessing that can become in life.
I know recruiting has certainly changed over the years, but did you have other options out there? I know you're obviously an Alabama fan, and maybe that was an easy choice for you.
Well, I'm glad you asked that. I committed Tennessee.
Yeah.
They had me brainwashed, a big orange and my helmet picked out. And like I said, it changed. I went to Knoxville four times, which was not illegal back then. And, you know, you could just about get a steak every night with recruiters coming by the house and whining the dad and everything. But I told them I was coming to Tennessee. That was when Doug Dickey was there. Tennessee was a powerhouse. They were the SEC champions at the time in 69 and 7 in those years. And Coach Bryant, the phone rang one morning about 7 o'clock. I was getting ready for high school and Paul Bryant, University of Alabama. I went, "Hey, Coach, how you doing?" Coach Bryant called me. And I said, "Coach, I got the picture you gave me. I have it hanging on the wall." They sent me an autographed picture. He goes, "That flatters me." And I thought, "What in the world does that mean?" The big flatter. I didn't know. But he said, "Where'd you go to Tennessee?" And I said, "Oh, Coach, I don't know." And then he said, "You don't want to go up there. You get snowbound in all them hills."
Snowbound in the hills.
Yeah.
So that one phone call, was that all it took to change your mind?
Well, that and my dad. My dad knew, and Alabama invited me down to the Alabama-Auburn game there in 1968, and Alabama won the game, the Iron Bowl. And, oh, man, I was staying on campus, and right before I was to fly back to Memphis, my dad and I were walking around Denny Chimes. And, you know, it was Thanksgiving, the Alabama-Auburn game in 1968. Danny, look, this Joe Lewis footprint. Oh, look, Dad. And, oh, man, I just eating it. I'd never seen all that. And just a little time together, you know, before I had to leave. Joe goes, "If Alabama and Tennessee were out there, and who would you want to win?"
Yeah.
Buddy, that's what I said. "Gee, Dad, I want Alabama to win." He goes, "Okay, then."
Why are you going to Tennessee, huh?
Right.
Yeah, so I went back home and I called the Tennessee coach and I said, "Coach, I'm sorry, I'm going to Alabama." And he was kind of frustrated about that. But my daddy, he knew how I felt deep down inside, you know how dads are. But that was the beginning.
Well, you know, last week we talked to Gary Rutledge, who played quarterback during that early era of the Wishbone offense, and you were a player during those days. You played with Johnny Musso, and you got to see the advent of that offense. And I just want you to kind of go through the changeover and how it changed Alabama, because Alabama had kind of been, you know, a middle to average program, I guess, in the late 60s after so much success in the 60s. And then we know what happened after that.
Well, you're right, Mike. It was we were in trouble. We really were. We were a weak team, and it's amazing how that just happened like that. But several things contribute to that. But you know, every now and then in life, you need a rebirth. You know, something new, something to get you stirred up in life, whether it be in athletics or just life in general. And thanks to the genius of Coach Bryant of really understanding what was going on, he changed a lot of things. He changed a lot of things. The philosophy of the off season, the philosophy of the way we were being treated at the dorm. I mean, it wasn't like we're getting treated like prisoners or getting treated bad. For instance, you know, we had to wear socks whenever we ate in the lunchroom. You know, breakfast, lunch, or supper. And we met with and said, "Coach, we don't wear socks anymore." You know, we had to come back from class and put socks on, then we go eat. So he changed it. You know, we couldn't have posters on our walls at Bryant Hall. You know, and back then, you know, in 1970, you know, posters became kind of a fad, and so he changed that. We didn't have phones in our rooms. You know, we had like five lines going into Bryant Hall for like 150 something guys, and said, "Coach, we'd like to have phones in our room." He said, no, people be. He's telling Johnny. He said, "Johnny Musa," he said, "people be calling you all night long, keeping you up." And he said, "Coach, well, they know how you're going to do it." You know, I said, "We'd like to have phones." And about two or three days later, there was an army of phone trucks there installing red and white phones in Bryant Hall.
How about that?
And you know, he changed. A lot of, you know, is Vietnam, the protests, the new revolution, or whatever you want to call it back then. And a lot of guys didn't want to put up the off-season, so he changed that. A lot of guys were leaving. The off-season was still in for the, like, the crew cut. Nothing against them, but, you know, it was the crew cut athlete from the 60s, and it was just really, really tough. I mean, puke barrels here and there, but he changed it. He made it more competitive. He made it kind of fun. We kept scores and our different activities that we did, but it still brought success. But you know, he just changed a different way of looking at things. And tell you real quick, he even came to a meeting. He had a team meeting during the off season with a wig on. He had a shag wig on. We fell out laughing. we just couldn't believe Coach Bryant had this wig on, and we were just rolling. He's sitting there grinning at us, and he pulled the wig off, and he said, "I've been out in Texas, and the Texas Longhorns are winning national championships, and they got long hair. President Johnson, he's got long hair. If you want to have long hair, let your hair grow." But he still had limits, you know, with our earlobes and our collars in the back. But, you know, that was the great thing about Coach. He knew there needed to be changes. And, of course, the wishbone, all he said that morning before we went out for practice, and we had kind of experimented with the wishbone some and ran it a little bit in 1968 as a going-in offense down there in the red zone. But we strictly went to it, and we had looked at some Texas training films on it, you know, alignment-wise and philosophy behind it, and Terry Davis was a heck of a wishbone quarterback, you know, it was all new. All of our quarterbacks had to adjust to it from like a passing type attack. But, you know, Coach Bryant just said that morning, "We're going to sink or swim with the wishbone." and that was it. And we went out there that morning with, you know, Southern Cal a few weeks away out there in Los Angeles, and we put the wishbone in, and we didn't have that many plays at first. You know, it was pretty simple, but there again, it was the triple option. And you know, the quarter based on the quarterback's reads and based on what the defense was lined up in. And, you know, and it was in-your-face offense. I mean, it was an attack right now. And we had the linemen that could do it, and it just fit us to a T. And, of course, it started there in 71 and went through 1982. And, you know, Alabama won 124 football games and lost 19 and tied one. So, you know, it was rebirth. It was a rebirth, you know, and it's something we all needed because, like I said, you know, the program was really suffering at that time.
Definitely didn't suffer after. You certainly had your success in that backfield. You averaged over 6 yards a carry. You really came into, the limelight a bit. Obviously, playing in the backfield was really good, no doubt, with a lot of backs that were good. But you did rush for 466 yards in 71 and 376 the following season in 72 and ended up scoring 6 touchdowns in your career. So I'm sure you never regretted that choice to decommit, I guess you'd say, from Tennessee and head back down to your home ground in Tuscaloosa there near Birmingham.
Right, right. Well, you know, regardless of what you run you know, you go to Alabama to win the national championship, and that was coach. You know, the teams in the '60s had established that Pat Trammell and Leroy Jordan and those great players, but Coach Bryant always had a great staff. You know, good teachers again that really took the time out for us and helped us to understand what we were doing. And but we were blessed with a bunch of great guys, great players, great friends. You know, we really enjoyed each other. You know, it was just a time for to celebration, so to speak. I mean, we were just put Alabama back. We're, you know, contending. You know, we played for the national championship there in 71, and Nebraska got us down there in the Orange Bowl, and it wasn't a good night for us. But, you know, we were back, and it continued on there for 12 years, 12 seasons. And players like Johnny Musso, I mean, one of the greatest ever. I mean, great friend. He has a heart of gold, great family, and you know. But that was, you know, just our little time together. You know, with, you know, and John Hanna, two of the All-American players, and of course there's a bunch more. But it was a wonderful, wonderful time. And sometimes I have to, you know, I get the reunions, and it's almost like I have to pinch myself at times and just say, wow, you know, I'm a little part of something really, really special, you know, and I'm thankful for that, you know, thank the good Lord for it.
I was kind of just Googling, looking up some stuff, and I found a great article in Sports Illustrated about the 71 game and talking about Musso and the toe and the injury there, and he played regardless. But it was a nice little line here I thought was interesting at the end of the article. Yeah. They got you some press time here. It says, you know, Musso in the game finished 167 yards on 33 carries, which isn't bad for a one-legged Elvis Presley fan from Birmingham, like yourself from Birmingham. And then you lived in Memphis where Elvis lived, so I don't know if you're an Elvis fan. Are you an Elvis fan?
Oh, yeah, of course, man. Right? Shoot, yeah. Matter of fact, my best buddy in high school, sister, dated Elvis.
Wow. But it says here, then he asked halfback Joe LeBeau to tie his brown knit tie and had an Alabama State trooper turn down the collar of his shirt, finally found a missing maroon sock, and set off a search of Pat Sullivan. He was buddies with Pat after the game. That's pretty good.
Oh, yeah. Hey, it was great. It was like a family. You know, again, the success, you know, there's nothing sweeter than victory. And, of course, that game against Auburn was, they had just like, 4 years in a row there? And 2 years. I'm sorry. But you know, Auburn had a tough team. You know, Sullivan and Beasley and all the great players, and we just really had a good night against them. And
Sullivan had already won the Heisman, at that point, right?
Yes, sir. That was he had won it that week, and but here we go, But I tell you, Coach Bill Oliver had a lot to do with the success of that game. He had been an assistant coach at Auburn for several years, and coaching their defensive backs, and came, Coach Bryant got it back at Alabama. You know, he played for Coach Bryant on the 61 team, and he really had our defense zeroed in on him. Oh, my goodness. And of course, you know, you talk about the wishbone, but it made our defense tougher, too, because it was, you know, like I said, attack offense. And they had to bow up. And, you know, the personnel we had over there, Jeff Rousey, Rock Parkhouse, Lanny Morris, and Jeff Beard, just a bunch of great ball players over there, and they could really play football, and great people. So, that was a big night for us right there for sure.
Well, yes, sir. You had some great moments there. I hope we could do this again when we have some more time. Joe, thanks so much for your time this morning, and we'll keep in touch.
Okay. Well, hey, I appreciate it. You know, and Stedham, he's really worked hard on the wishbone. Premier and the Wishbone Boys work a ton of effort he's put into it, and his friends, and it's going to be August the 28th in Tuscaloosa at the Baca Theater, and the tickets are going to go on sale. There's a website that you can go on to, and it's going to be a lot of thankful, grateful guys and families there. So it's just a real treat to be able to do this. It will be 50 years in September when we play Southern Cal out there. 50 years, and we'll be up 17-10 in Los Angeles.
You're going to have a lot of fun with this when it comes around. I know, as seeing some of these guys that are going to come, aren't you?
Yeah. Oh, yes, sir. Oh, my goodness. It'll be great. Hey, Mike, I appreciate you and your buddy and everybody out the radio land. Talisman and Montgomery, and thank you so much. It's been a great time to spend with you, reminiscing, and I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Joe. Appreciate your time. We'll talk again soon, I hope.
Yes, sir.
Take care.
You.
Yes, sir.
God bless you.
Same to you.
Bye-bye.
God bless you. Joe LeBeau, former Alabama running back with the Wishbone offense, and telling us more about the Wishbone Boys premiere there at the end. It is going to be, again, Saturday evening gala at the Bama Theater, the historic Bama Theater, on August 28th. With 12 years of players, coaching staff from 1971 to 82, the historic Bama Theater, again, the venue for this. I'm hoping I get to go. I think I'd like to go up and see that.
That would be a great venue to go to, just to the autographs.
Just to see the guys that are coming back to be a part of this, If you missed any part of that, you get it on the replay. We'll archive it as well on the website at 1300WTLS.com. Joe LeBeau, thanks again so much for his time. More Wishbone Wednesdays each week. Be sure to listen. Wishbone Boys Wednesdays here on The Wake Up Call.